Well, with the price of gas continuing to rise, one wonders how high it can really go before folks say we have to find alternative means to get around. Jack Girard joins us, the president of the American Petroleum Institute, to talk a little bit about this. Jack, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on today.
How high do you think the gasoline price will go?
Well, we don't predict prices, and it's unclear, but there are some things we could be doing as a nation and as political leaders to try to make sure we put downward pressure on that price. And part of it is to bring more supply to the marketplace, something we can do here in the United States as the most energy-rich nation in the world. And we're disappointed today because the president once again cranked up the rhetoric and talked about trying to do things, but his actions don't match his words, and he's done things to restrict production in the United States. So it's hard to predict at this time, but we think there's more we could be doing and more than just lip service.
Now, my understanding is demand right now is actually down.
It is.
All right, so it would seem like that would bring the price down with it, but it hasn't worked like that.
Well, what we need to remember is the price of gasoline is a function of the price of crude oil, and crude oil is traded on a global marketplace. There's a number of variables that contribute to that price of crude oil that we have no control over, such as, you know, the discussion in the Middle East today, the Iran question, the Straits of Hormuz, the increasing demand in China. And the speculation around the world as to where that price might go next as economies around the world begin to recover. But the one variable we do have some control over is how much supply we put into the marketplace as a nation. The Congressional Research Service issued a report just a few months ago pointing out that the United States is the most energy-rich nation in the world. Yet we're sitting on our hands. We're sitting on vast oil, natural gas resources. And for political considerations, we have refused, or I should say the administration has refused, to bring them to the market. And if we really want to drive down the price or have an impact on the price, we need to put more supply into the marketplace, and that will help offset some of these variables around the world that we have no control over. So we think it's time for the president to step up and quit talking about this and actually bring product to the marketplace. And as an industry, we stand ready to make those investments, but the government has the keys to the permission. And all we need to do is get permission, and we'll move forward immediately.
Mr. Girard, the price of gas right now is not unusual for the summertime. My understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it's just unusual to be this high so early in the year. Is that right?
Well, it's high earlier than it normally is. We generally see a bit of a tick up when we move into the spring-summer driving season around Memorial Day. And unfortunately, there are other factors playing into this. As the economy begins to recover, you're going to see more and more demand for fuel products because the demand on a global basis, particularly including China, India, and other emerging economies, are continuing to consume large amounts of oil and gas. So there's not as much out there on the global basis as there needs to be to help tamp the price down here.
All right. As we go into the campaign, we're going to hear more about the Keystone XL pipeline. Now, correct me if I'm wrong on this one. I understand this to be built from Canada to the Gulf Coast where it will be refined, but most of that would be shipped overseas into the world market. It wouldn't necessarily affect our supply, would it?
Well, first of all, that's fundamentally untrue.
Okay, that's what I want to find out.
Yeah. What you see is you see folks out there, Ernie, that are perpetuating this rumor and this myth. And the reason they're doing it is most of them are the same individuals who oppose the Keystone XL pipeline.
All right.
And they fundamentally oppose it because they believe we should not produce nor consume oil and natural gas. They believe we ought to move to other forms of energy. And that's fine. However, 60% of all the energy we consume in the United States is oil and natural gas and will be for the next 30 years. So we need to be thoughtful about how we make these transitions. When you look at the Keystone XL pipeline, it's a $7 billion investment, runs 1,700 miles right across the heartland of the U.S. That would make us more energy secure by bringing crude oil from Canada to the United States. That pipeline has the ability to displace about one-half of what we import from the Middle East today. But there's one key difference that shouldn't be overlooked. Every dollar we invest in Canada to produce the oil sands crude and bring it to the United States, 90 cents of that dollar comes back to the United States in form of purchase of goods and services. Every dollar we invest in the Middle East, we get 30 cents back to the U.S.
Well, sir,
so this is a no-brainer. It's a win-win for the country if we had the courage to approve it.
Since you are the president of the American Petroleum Institute, I'm afraid you will have a different view on this than some. But some are saying, why stick with the same types of gasoline and fuels that we have been dependent on for so long if we now know that they are also pollutants? Stay with them as long as we need to while we develop other sources of energy. And now I can understand, since you make your money in a certain way, that you would want to stay with the things that we have been using for so long. But can you not understand the other side of that?
Oh, absolutely, Molly. In fact, let me take off the self-interest hat, if you will, and let's just talk facts and figures. Let's talk about energy reality.
We'll have to do that in about 30 seconds, if you don't mind, sir.
Well, let me do it quick. It took 100 years for us in this country to get off wood as our primary form of energy. It will take multiple decades to move away from oil and gas as our primary form of energy. The oil and natural gas industry are the single largest investors in alternative and renewable forms of energies. We understand it. We get it. The challenge is we don't have energy supplies in adequate number to displace what we're currently using today.
Okay.
So we've got to be thoughtful about how we use oil and gas at the same time we try to make a transition to other forms of energy.
This is Jack Girard, the president of the American Petroleum Institute, with us on America's Radio News. Thank you so much for the information. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Ernie and Molly. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.